This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and joining us now, I'm sure there are some folks who are anticipating some good Olympic hockey. I think there are other folks who are missing the product that we have back here at the States, especially the Boston Bruins, who finished up at least this portion of the season real strong. We have joining us a gentleman who I've had the fantastic pleasure of talking to from time to time. He is the radio voice of the Boston Bruins, none other than Mr. Dave Gosher. Mr. Gosher, how are you?
Hey, good, Kevin. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you enjoying your mini vacation?
Well, so far, so good. You know, it's I got to tell you, I'm kind of done with the cold and the winter, you know, but I think most of us are by now. So but it's been good. It's been good to kind of get a little time off and recharge. The Bruins schedule has been, like most teams, has been really kind of hectic here over the last few months. And coming out of the Olympic break here shortly, it's going to be even more hectic. So it's good. It's good to kind of get a chance to recharge, take in a little bit of Olympic hockey, and then I think the Bruins have 24 games in 44 days to wrap up the regular season, so it's really kind of a sprint to the finish for them.
Bruins currently stand first in the Atlantic Division with 37 wins. Give me your thoughts on how the league has been reconstituted and how the Bruins, how well you feel that they have fared with this new makeup.
Well, I think by and large, Kevin, they are kind of at where I thought they would be. You know, if you look going into the season, there were some question marks in terms of, you know, this is a team that came within two wins of another Stanley Cup and yet deleted a significant portion of their club, especially if you look on the right side with Nathan Horton and Tyler Seguin. They traded Rich Beverley as well. They did not keep Jaromir Jagr. Andrew Ferentz left via free agency, although the Bruins really wanted to keep him. So I do think there were some question marks going into the season, but by and large, Jerome McGinnis fit in terrific on that line with Krejci and Lucic. You bring in somebody like Riley Smith, who I don't think many Bruins fans, myself included, knew a lot about. Mm. And he's been excellent for them as well. So Louis Erickson has been kind of, kind of an incomplete is probably the best way to put it, just because of the injuries he's suffered. But, you know, you take all that into the equation and you look at where the Bruins are in this Olympic break and number two in the East, and I still think an elite team in the NHL, you've got to be pleased where they're at.
Do you feel that this team is missing a guy like Tyler Seguin, or do you feel that they got a nice compliment back? I mean, again, you hit the nail on the head. That was going to be my next question. This kid, Riley Smith, who, you know, he's about maybe 12 to 14 points behind what Seguin is doing at this point in time. I mean, the big commodity in that trade was Louis Erickson, who is basically putting up Rich Beverley numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they miss Seguin in terms of his production. I mean, look, you know, when they traded him, Kevin, I had a couple of people ask me, you know, what do you think of it? And I said, look, he's probably going to go down to Dallas and score 25 or 30 goals a year for the next 10 years. He's a good player. Fact of the matter is, it had run its course here, and they got somebody like Riley Smith, who, as I say, I don't think we knew a lot about him. Somebody that terrific hockey sense, real smart kid, real good playmaker, and has the ability to score. I think maybe the question with him was, physically, could he hold up to it? He's not a real big guy. I mean, if you stood next to him, he's not a physically imposing guy at all. But he's elusive on the ice. It's tough to really. I think it's tough for other teams to get to him. So he's been. He's been excellent. You know, he's kind of played on that second line. He was on the third line for a little while. And especially, as you said, I mean, Louis Erickson was the marquee guy coming over in that trade. And he's had a tough first half, or even more than first half, I guess, now with the two concussions and then got a stick in the mouth recently in a Bruins game and had a bunch of his teeth kind of caved in on him. So it's, from the Bruins standpoint, they're a team that's really built on their depth, I think, anyways, Kevin. They're not a team that's going to have somebody in the top 5 or 10 in scoring in the league. They're really kind of the sum of their parts, and they've been that way for a while.
Yeah, and talking about Jerome McGinley, I mean, here's a guy who's another terrific surprise. He signed a one-year contract. Have there been any early rumblings that Peter Chiarelli may look to maybe get him for another couple of years, or is it too soon to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't know if they've gone down that road just yet. The Gittler deal was largely had, it was a pretty incentive-laden contract as well, but he's been, he's by and large been really good too. I mean, just last week named the NHL second star for the week or third star of the week, whatever it was, and he's been, I think, as advertised, somebody that could fit right in with Krejci and Lucic. I mean, he's gone through spells, and he's been a notoriously slow starter in his career, and that was the case here too. You know, he had a slow start to this season, but has heated up lately, and I keep coming back to this with him, Kevin. I think that's the, you want to talk about motivation for a guy. Look, he's done everything in his career but win a Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know, he went to the final with Calgary in 2004, really never had a deep run until he was in Pittsburgh last year after the trade to the Penguins. He's done everything else. He's won a gold medal. He scored 500 goals. He's a captain of Calgary forever. He's going to be a Hall of Famer when he's all done. But, you know, that Stanley Cup, and that's the one thing that's eluded him so far. So I've got to believe that's a huge motivating factor for him. I know that's hopefully a few months down the road for the Bruins and a chance to play for it. But you've got a guy that's really hungry, I think, to kind of fill that one missing spot on his resume.
Right. And you know, there's been so many storylines throughout the season. The Sean Thornton suspension, losing Dennis Seidenberg for the season to injury. I mean, talk to me about those two incidents, not only losing Seidenberg, but, you know, Sean Thornton and the incident that a lot of people were kind of calling, you know, Sean's been known as a stand-up guy. Yeah, he's a guy who goes out there and mixes it up, but he's not a guy who would be known as a dirty player.
No, and I tell you, Kevin, I think, you know, there's been so much commentary about that whole incident back in December. I just kind of keep coming back to this. If you're Brooks Orpik and you're going to kind of play the way he plays, which is on the edge, and you're going to make a hit like that, which was questionable, every once in a while you have to drop your gloves.
Sure.
And it's easy for me to say that, sitting up where I sit on the ninth floor. It's much safer up there, believe me. But Brooks Orpik's been around a long time. And, you know, he kind of knows the way the game's played. And people kind of forget this. Dougie Hamilton went over to challenge Brooks Orpik first. And Orpik said no to Dougie Hamilton.
Wow.
Then said no to Sean Thornton.
Right.
And then, you know, we kind of know where it went from there. Now, look, Sean will be the first to tell you that he kind of snapped there and he can't do what he did. But Orpik had a couple of chances to handle it the way it should have been handled. But it's not his game. He's fought 10 times in his career, and he hasn't fought in 5 years. And the last time he fought was Alex Burrows, of all people, for Vancouver. So, hey, look, you know, Sean took his medicine, if you will, and I think hopefully when it's all said and done, this will just kind of be a blip on the radar screen. I liked his comment when he came back. I don't think it's going to be something that defines his career. So the loss of Dennis Seidenberg is enormous for this team, Kevin. You can't really get around it.
Right.
How he plays, the heavy minutes he plays, especially in the playoffs when they pair him and Zdeno Chara together, you cannot replace him. You know, they'll have somebody else in their lineup, but you're not going to replace what he brings to it, which kind of leads to another discussion of, I do hope the Bruins are able to add a defenseman here down the stretch. I mean, if they're going to make a deep playoff run, you know you're going to lose players to injury. Last year they got Torrey Krug and Matt Barkowski in their lineup because Andrew Ferentz and Dennis Seidenberg got dinged up in the first round against Toronto. So hopefully that's something that Peter Chiarelli and company can pull off here before the deadline.
Do you think that they're using this break right now to maybe assess some of the guys who are, you know, they're there on the tail end of a deal and that they can bring them in for the remainder of the year?
Well, I'm sure they are. I mean, Peter Chiarelli's in Sochi, obviously, with Team Canada.
Right.
But I'm sure they've already been doing that, you know, as they go along, and especially once Seidenberg got hurt, you know, back, was it right after Christmas, I guess. I'm sure they already had the kind of things, or trying to get things in motion because, you know, they'll need somebody to play some of those big minutes for them. And, yeah, then you look to guys or to teams, I guess, that are out of it and maybe players with expiring contracts. I know Peter Chiarelli said last week that he does not really want to take anybody off of his existing roster. I don't know if that's going to be possible or not. To make a trade without deleting somebody from this team. Maybe you could do it with draft picks or with players in the minors or a combination thereof, but you have to hope. And I think, too, Kevin, I hope it's not only just on the back end. I think you'd like to maybe see them add a depth forward up front as well. I don't think that would be a bad thing for them.
You think maybe they could get Jaromír Jágr back from the Devils? You think? Maybe Michael Ryder?
I don't know if they would go down that road again. He's somebody that was had his moments and never ended up scoring in the playoffs, but he is somebody that's had a pretty good season down in New Jersey. So I don't know who that might be. I just think that, again, you're going to lose players to injury in the playoffs. And, the Bruins in 2011 were minus Nathan Horton, who obviously got injured in the final. Mm. They, by and large, were pretty healthy as they went on that Stanley Cup run. Last year, on their way to losing in six games, it was a bigger challenge for them. I mean, they had guys playing injured. I mean, at the top of the list was Patrice Bergeron, who had just a list of injuries as long as your arm and tried to play through them. But, as I say, I just would like to see them add somebody there, both up front and on the back end, if they're gonna get where they want to go.
Yeah, we're speaking with the radio voice of the Boston Bruins, Dave Gosha, who also does a fantastic Saturday show on the Sports Hub, 98.5, right up the dial. I have to ask you, taking a look at some of the we saw Dennis Seidenberg go down, but yet you look at the depth, these young kids, the Barkowskis, seeing how Torey Krug has kind of come along. How impressed are you with the depth of, the Bruins farm system and having all Kevin Smith coming up and they ended up, I'm sorry, Kevin Miller. They actually signed to a 2-year deal, one-way deal.
Yeah, you got a 2-year deal,
yep.
One-way deal, one-way money,
yep.
And great. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that one of the things they wanted to do, and it's something that my partner Bob Beers has brought up a couple of times, that they wanted to have guys in their system, and I like everybody, but players that when you get injuries up top, that can come up and fill a valuable role,
right.
And by and large, they've been able to do that. Up front, they brought up a couple of players like a Ryan Spooner and a Matt Frazier that, at least right now, I don't know if they're ready just yet to play a regular role in the NHL. But somebody like Kevin Miller has been a great, pleasant surprise for them, no question about it. And especially with the injury, I would compare it more to the injury to Adam McQuaid. I think he would fill more of that role, that 5-6 role that on the third defense pair. Somebody that's come up and it's just proven to be real reliable for them. And, yeah, I mean, it's something that you need as an organization. If, you try to build, I think, largely from within. The Bruins have done that. And then you can also supplement it with some free agent signings. But, they've made a conscious effort to try to have guys that are NHL-ready if and when it's time to get called up.
Probably the last thing, the last component I would get your thoughts on is your goaltending tandem. Chad Johnson has done a fantastic job, stepping in between the pipes whenever Tuukka Rask needs, a day off, or if he lets up a bunch of goals early. He's been pulled a few times this year. Talk to me about that tandem.
Well, they've been really good, I think for Tuukka, you try to look at the whole body of work, and by and large, he's been excellent for them, Kevin. He's somebody that I think is one of the elite goaltenders in the league. There's no doubting there are times he's had kind of a bit of a struggle of it, where he's been pulled from games or there's been maybe a couple of leaky goals on him. But that being said, he's somebody that, they expect to rely on here to make a deep run. And Chad Johnson's been very good, especially lately. He's won his last 5 starts. And, that was after he had a bit of a struggle. There were some times where he wasn't real good. He got beat, you probably remember, on a couple of wraparound goals that I'm sure he didn't like. The Bruins even had Nicholas Stedberg up to play a game.
Yep.
But Chad Johnson's been good.
Yep.
And he's going to need to be good, too, as they move forward because, as I said, their schedule is crazy here once they do get back to playing. And I think they have 8 back-to-backs that I counted here recently from now until the end of the season. So, they're going to need somebody like Chad Johnson to get in there and try to give Rask a break as much as possible and make sure that Rask is as fresh as possible once the playoffs do begin.
Sure, and the 2 games that I can recall is those the puck sneaking between the pad and the post, I believe, Chicago. That was a game that they could have very easily taken into overtime. And I believe
the there
Blues.
Yeah, one there and then one up in Edmonton, I think. There was like a one-hand wraparound goal, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And we also just had one where they were able to tie up the Blues 2-2 going into overtime, and you had a squeaker.
Yeah. Well, and that's as I say, like, you know, at times with Tuukka, you see a couple that – I was talking about the wraparounds with Johnson, but Rask, right. There's times that every once in a while those – you know, there's some that'll bleed through them. The game-winning goal in St. Louis that I think you're referring to, I kind of put a little bit more of that on Carl Soderberg, who turned the puck over behind the net. And you know, Rask thinks that puck's going to get wrapped around the boards, and TJ Oshie blocked it right behind the net. All of a sudden, Rask has to get back to that short side post, and before he was able to do it, the puck was kind of was in the net. I just think, Evan, in the larger picture, you know, he's somebody that led them to within two victories of a cup last year. They signed him to that big 8-year extension in the offseason.
Yep.
And they have a lot of faith in him. You know, why wouldn't you? I'd be curious to see, you know, the other factor here, too, is with the Olympics and, you know, how much will he end up playing for Finland? They have Rask and Antti Niemi and Kari Lehtinen. You know, how much will Rask get in there? Mm-hmm. I do expect him to play a fair amount for Team Finland. I guess that remains to be seen, but even puts more of a focus on trying to get him breathers here as much as they can when they do return the play.
Now, are you going to be, how intently are you going to be watching Olympic hockey? Because you're going to have Bruins kind of spread out on different teams.
Yeah, a fair amount. I mean, I guess as much as I can. You know, the fact of the matter is the time change is a killer, right?
Right.
I mean, they're 9 hours ahead over there. So I think, you know, some of the games, especially Team USA, I know the, you know, there's no Bruins on the U.S. team, but you know, they could be at 5 in the morning. So I may see some of them. I might try to set the DVR. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of having the NHL guys over there. I really am, Kevin. I think that I would say, and others have kind of talked about this too, there's a big part of me that thinks this might be it, though. You know, even with the time change and it being in Russia, I think this was a bit of a push for a lot of people in the NHL. The players, I think, by and large, do love it. I love the fact you have all the best players in the game in one tournament. It's a short tournament. The games are usually the level of play in the games are usually fantastic. But I think as the NHL moves forward, and the Olympics are in South Korea in 2018,
right.
So I think that's really going to be a stretch for the league to shut down for 2.5 weeks for that. But that's for down the road. I certainly will try and catch as much of the hockey coverage as I can because, I think it's great to have all these elite players in one tournament.
Do you feel that the U.S. men's hockey team has a chance to medal, or do you feel that there's just too much competition, whether it's the Russians, the Slovakians, or the Canadians?
Well, I think for the U.S., they're right on that cusp.
Right.
I think. You know, Canada to me is the favorite, and then you've got the Russians, the Swedish team, which took a couple of hits with Henrik Sedin not able to play, Johan Franzén not able to play. The Finns, who historically do well in the Olympics, it might not always, it's not the gold medal, but they're usually in the medal contention somewhere. You look at the Czech Republic, maybe too. But I think the U.S. is maybe in that, maybe just a touchdown from, say, Canada, Finland, Sweden, and maybe even the Russians. But, hey, look, this is a team that 4 years ago was within an overtime goal of taking home a gold medal. So, you know, especially in a short tournament, you never know what can happen. So, you know, you hope that they can make a good run for it, you know, because they were so close 4 years ago.
Hockey the only sport that you watch during the Olympics, or do you have any other favorites?
you know what? I just kind of flipped, Kevin. I like the downhill skiing to a certain extent.
Yep.
The bobsled thing kind of fascinates me just because of the speed of it.
Sure.
So I'll kind of watch some of that. So it just kind of depends. I mean, even some of the 60 and 90-meter ski jumps, I get some of that too, but
yeah, so you're not a curl. You're not a curling guy. I think you'd be a curling guy.
So, you know, how many times have we been to Canada over the last 15 years, 14 years doing the Bruins, and you know it's on in Canada a lot. And I try like a son of a gun to figure it out and follow it and get myself interested in it. And it's just I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm right or wrong. It's hard for me to get fired up for it. But I understand. There's people that love it. It's huge in Canada and And that's fine. You know, that's different things for different people, I guess.
Yeah. Me, I get a kick out of the single man luge. You have to be a certain type of person who doesn't mind being on a stick of wood going 80 miles an hour, knowing that at any moment the only thing that's protecting you is your helmet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with you. I tend to like that. Even the short track speed skating, you know, the stuff where there's, this is going to sound a little bit odd, but where there's speed and there's some level of danger,
right,
if that makes any sense.
Oh, it does.
Those sports certainly qualify. Not that you ever want to see anyone get hurt, but there's just that high risk factor and how fast these guys go and, you know, and what they're doing. So it's, I'm somebody that, you know, I'm an Olympics fan. Probably as I've grown more and gotten older as an adult, maybe not. I don't think it's what it was when I was a kid, but that's all right. I still think there's a place for it, and I certainly, if I'm sitting home at night, I'll be flipping the channels around to see what's up.
Yeah, I kind of miss the whole ABC, the agony of defeat. You know, the skier falling off the, you know, crashing and falling, and I miss those days, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the other part of it is too, Kevin, it's not, in the world we live in now, and I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, you know, the U.S. beating the Soviets in 1980, which, I mean, I was, what was the math there? I was 9, I think, or 10 when that happened.
Right.
That, you know, most of the country didn't know about it, and that we watched it on tape delay, right?
Right.
Well, that's never going to happen again because of the world we live in now. I mean, everything's Twitter and instant gratification and that's fine. I know that's the way it is now. But, you know, even this, with it being over in Russia now and 9 hours ahead, I mean, you know, most people, I think, I don't know, I don't mind knowing the results of these events beforehand. It doesn't really bother me. It doesn't faze me really one way or another. But I just think the whole nature of it has changed a lot because of technology and kind of the way the world is now.
Okay, we are speaking with Dave Gosha, who is the radio voice for the Boston Bruins. Bruins come back. First game back, I believe, is February 26th when they travel up to the First Niagara Center, taking on Buffalo. What are you going to be watching for when the Bruins take the ice come February 26th?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, some things as they move forward, Kevin, are you know, in terms of the players that went over to play in the Olympics, and you know, five of their best players went over there to play. How will they be when they come back? Especially guys like Chara, Bergeron, Rask, that Krejci as well. And I think it's probably a good thing for Eriksson to continue playing because he's missed so much time in the first half of the year. But, you know, the other four, the Bruins rely on to do so much. You know, they're going to be how quickly can they kind of recover from the Olympics and get themselves re-energized for the second half of the year. So, or the unofficial second half. They're only going to have about, 24 games left.
Right,
so,
right.
I guess the good part is for them and for the Bruins is that they did a great job heading into the break of putting up a lot of points.
Yep.
You know, they went into the break with 78 points. They went on that great run of 81-2 in their last 11. And, you know, now there's some light at the end of the tunnel. They can kind of see the playoffs coming in 5 or 6 weeks. So that will be good for them, especially for this veteran group that knows what it takes to win. And I think that's a good part for them. They were able to grind their way through really kind of the dog days of the schedule in January and into early February and put themselves in a real good spot where they put up a pretty good cushion here heading into the final 24 games or so.
How do you feel? Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that they have another deep run? They went deep into the playoffs, went to the Cup last year. Do you feel that with the way things are constituted now, that the Bruins have just as good a chance as any to make it back to the Cup?
I do. I mean, I do think that, as I said earlier, I do think they're going to need to make some tweaks to their, you know, what they already have on their roster. You can make a case, Kevin, in the East that it's, and we've had different people kind of say this to us over the course of the season that have seen, you know, a lot of the league as we have, that it's, in the Eastern Conference, you've got the Bruins and the Pittsburgh Penguins and kind of everybody else.
Right.
And that's kind of how I see it, too. Now, in saying that, Tampa Bay has hung in there, although they hit a kind of a dip in their play right before the break. They won their last game before the break, but, you know, they didn't have Stamkos in there for so long, and they did more than keep their heads above water. You know, there's teams like Detroit that have had a hard time staying healthy, but you know, they put on a clinic against the Bruins. The Bruins were out there back in November and lost 6-1. Mm. Montreal, we know that matchup can be a tough one for the Bruins. So in terms of, you know, can they make a deep run? I do think they're capable of it. I would say that, as we've seen over the years, a lot of it is that first-round matchup can be the toughest matchup of all. I mean, you know, as we saw in 2011, the Bruins had to go to overtime Game 7 to beat Montreal.
Right.
We know how close they were to being out in the first round against Toronto last year, down 3 goals with 11 and a half minutes left, and it took a miracle comeback for them to win. So that first round can be brutal to get through for teams, and then it almost seems like if you can get through that, get your feet under you, gain some momentum, at least with the Bruins anyways, and last year they made pretty quick work of the Rangers in Pittsburgh the next two rounds, that hopefully they can kind of, you know, take off from there. But that first round will be key for them.
Well, we would love that when the playoffs kick off or somewhere in there, depending on what your schedule is. We would love to have you back, talk a little playoff hockey if that's cool with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I always enjoy chatting with you. You bet.
Any plans for the remainder of your vacation? Are you going to head down where you can maybe get a couple of greens, or what are you going to do?
Yeah. Not really. I'm thinking about piecing a couple of things together. Whether it's going to happen. Here's the problem, Kevin. This second week of the break, unbeknownst to me, is school vacation week.
Yep.
So rates to travel are through the roof.
Yep.
Because of that. So I don't know. We'll see what the next few days bring. But if anything else, it's just kind of good to kind of decompress. And as they say, it is a grind. Our schedule's been a bit of a grind. And look, I know it's, you know, my buddy that I live next door to says, well, it's not a real job that you have. And he could not be more right. You know, it's not exactly breaking rocks in the middle of the street somewhere. But it is, from a time standpoint, a pretty big commitment. So it's been good to just kind of, do nothing here for the last little stretch of time. That's been really good.
Well, you enjoy your time off. You're darn good at what you do. And we'll definitely continue to listen to you, not only on 98.5, the Sports Hub, during the games, but also check you out on Saturday mornings when you and Bob Beers talk hockey.
That sounds great, Kevin. Thanks a lot.
Again, that was Dave Gosher joining us for a fantastic segment talking Boston Bruins hockey, Olympic hockey, and as you can hear him right up the dial on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Be sure to check him out. We want to thank you for checking out our program. We want to thank Peter Brown and all of our great guests this evening. That's another Monday Night Talk. Until next week, have a great evening.